Hello and welcome to the Culture File Weekly, where this week we're dealing in new art from Africa and the diaspora. The idea of a single style or voice or subject matter emerging to define a continent always seemed like an outlandish idea. Just have a look at the most prominent work from, say, Ghana's El Anatsui, whose cloth made from recycled bottle top wrappers makes a glorious golden cloak that hangs at the British Museum. Or Nigeria's Yinka Shonibare, whose uncanny headless sculptures were seen at the Venice Biennale. And that's to ignore artists from 52 other African countries. So this weekly, we'll be attempting to put together a few more pieces in Africa's current art story, travelling from Lagos and visiting the lightbox-filled studios of Ade Adekola.
So as the light changes behind it, you have this sort of tonal attenuation of colour change that makes this piece fairly magical.
Touching down in East London for the launch of the House of African Art, a new showcase of talent from the continent.
My name is Marianne Lowell, and I'm the founder of the House of African Art.
And we'll be wandering through the mahogany and brass Mayfair offices of one of the world's largest auction houses to hear about their interest in contemporary and modern African art.
Sotheby's is one of the largest auction houses in the world. We pride ourselves on selling the best art from anywhere in the world, and we also pride ourselves on being the first to enter emerging markets.
Our nomadic reporter for this trip is Culturefile's Louise Williams, who leads us first to Lagos, a bustling city of 21 million, a sprawling megalopolis of islands linked to mainland suburbs, growing faster than anyone can keep up. Nigeria has one of the largest economies in Africa and an expanding art scene, with established artists returning from abroad and many homegrown talents showcasing at Lagos's multiple art fairs. Ade Adekola is an architect turned conceptual artist living in his hometown of Lagos after boarding school in Devon, a stint in Silicon Valley, and residencies in Berlin and beyond. He uses photography and light boxes in his work, which is sold all over the world. Louise Williams got to take the long, long ride to Ade Adekola's base on Victoria Island, Lagos.
But you should have come yesterday now.
If you're not careful, Lagos can defeat you. There's the heat, there are the traffic jams. They could be 3-4 hours. That's quite normal here in Lagos. It's a hectic, hustly city. I really wanted to meet Ade Adekola. I got in touch with him yesterday by phone. He said, come over. He's got a show opening tomorrow. Now, it turns out he's completely hectic, and I'm leaving for the airport tomorrow. So we have this tiny window of opportunity. But we were in his house. Now we're trying to get into a studio. It turns out somebody else has the keys.
I now have a mini disaster on my hands.
Okay.
Abba, that Friday. I forgot that Friday.
He's just popped his assistant over the wall to let us in. He's switching between English with a Nigerian accent, with an English accent, with an American accent. He's an incredibly hospitable, welcoming guy. And I'm just dying to see his light boxes.
I've lived in several different cities around the world. Mm. And because my voice is sort of kind of chameleon-like, depending on who I'm speaking with, I try and blend with my interlocutor. I do have a very British voice, and then I do have a very Nigerian voice.
Can we talk about the light boxes first? I think that's your more recent work, and there's some of them on the walls here.
So we're looking not at the three images which are illuminated, but the three images above them. Mm. One of which is sepia, and then the second is burgundy, and then the third is more blue, but it's meant to be indigo. Those three colors are representative of the first three colors that we had in terms of traditional dyeing, in terms of our textiles. So I was interested in investigating.
We knew your phone would go off.
Yeah, of course. Excuse me.
It's okay.
Hi, Otas.
While Ade's sorting that out, here's Hannah O'Leary from Sotheby's. She's the head of the African department. We're going to be hearing more from her later, but here's her take on Ade Adekola.
Ade is a really exciting artist. I know a lot of the collectors who with significant collections are really excited by him. He's a great intellectual. His work has many layers of interpretation. And he's a really great example of the multimedia artists that are coming out of Nigeria that aren't necessarily using traditional media, but are taken technology and merged it with fine art and created something really special.
What I did was I took those three colors into the computer and then I blended them. And because I'm blending light, right, things tend to expand as opposed to contract when you blend pigment. And what happened was I created a unique color spectrum.
Okay.
And then I took that unique color spectrum and I said, let me now create a digital simulation of a loom and then use technology to create a more contemporary manifestation of the same tradition. After I did that, I said, I remember my elementary physics from Devon. If I pass different colors of light through this, it will refract differently. And if I change the light, I will get something which is more dynamic. So I thought, stick this in a light box.
So you're going to switch it on now? It's moving colors. Okay.
So you now have an almost psychedelic drift of colors, very meditative.
It's sort of compelling. It sort of pulls you in because at first glance, you don't realize that the colors are changing.
Right. So from that, quickly, I transitioned to this.
Oh. So you've just switched on a different light, a very different light box that's propped up against the wall. Cool.
These are polo players. And I've taken a sort of, you know, collage-like approach. So rather than do horizontal stratifications of color, I've done different shapes of color, overlay them upon each other such that when, you know, you have patterns and blends, you know, you now have a different attenuation of the image, the subject going in and out of perception and thus shifting from the foreground to the background, right?
And again, that sensation of movement comes very much to the fore as you watch it.
Yes, movement is something that fascinates me, and colour. This series is called Colour Field Expressions. So as the light changes behind it, you have this sort of, again, this tonal attenuation of color change that makes this piece fairly magical. And then if you
pulling me again. Yep, to the right. Yep.
You stand back just here.
Yeah.
Around there, and you look at this, you get a three-dimensional effect as if the writers were actually coming out of
Indeed.
The plane.
Yeah. It seems a little bit more...
So there's mystery in it.
Yeah, totally. But it seems a bit more painterly, more like a painting in some ways for me than the others, which feel very digital and a little bit harder in their lines.
Early on, I was very conscious that photography as a medium, because, you know, I am a fine art photographer. Very early on, there was always in the back of my mind that I wanted the photographs to have a painterly perception. The way your painting moves you and emotes you, I wanted it to do the same. So I'm not surprised that you see that.
Okay.
It means that, you know, I'm probably getting closer to doing something magical.
Ade Adekola there in his studio on Victoria Island, Lagos. There's a lot of discussion about the idea of Africa rising, not least right here, and the emergence, to us in Europe at least, of artists of African origin on the art scene around the world. One sign of this new prominence is that Sotheby's has established a department of modern and contemporary African art. This week they held their latest sale of work from across the continent, curated by the careful eye of a Thai woman, Hannah O'Leary, who heads up their African art efforts from her Mayfair base.
Sotheby's is one of the largest auction houses in the world. We pride ourselves on selling the best art from anywhere in the world, and we also pride ourselves on being the first to enter emerging markets. So Sotheby's entered the Latin American market in the 80s, the same for Asian art. All of these regional categories, we were the pioneers in those fields, and it was quite obvious a few years ago that Africa was a whole continent that was being not quite ignored, but not really invested in, and we didn't have a platform for artists from the continent. And so there was an obvious need and a growing need for that.
And you stepped in. What's your background?
Quite a classical art historical training. So I studied history of art at university and cultural anthropology. And then I started out at Sotheby's in Dublin, and I loved the auctioneering business, and I didn't know what area I wanted to specialise in. So I became kind of a jack of all trades. I was responsible for cataloguing works from anywhere that fell outside the traditional European categories. So that meant that I was looking at art from Africa, but also from Australia, from America, from Latin America, and I loved that. And African art was just really, really interesting. It was started to sell really well, and it was clear the potential there was huge.
So paintings from all across the continent are on sale at Sotheby's. Sherry Samba is one of the more well-known Congolese painters, and J'aime la couleur, I love colour, is one of his paintings, and it's a figure. He's holding a paintbrush in his teeth, and on one end of the paintbrush is balanced a plate with some fish and some vegetables on it, just showing. And on the other end, there's paint dripping off in various colours. It dates back from 2004, it says here. Sherry Samba was born in 1956. I think it might be a self-portrait.
Sherry Samba is a fascinating artist. He's one of the founders of this popular painting school. His work, he's actually from an advertising background. There's a lot of humour in his work, but there are also kind of political undertones. He makes a lot of commentary about the state of Congo, but also very much on the West or the Europeans' notion of what Africa is and what Africa should be, and he kind of turns that on its head. So always with a sense of humour as well.
It's very Congolese to play on ideas of identity and preconceptions in a very, quite a dark way.
Yes, I think of it almost as a Trojan horse. So it's delivered in a very beautiful way, but then actually the message there is very clear and often very politicised.
There's a work by Romuald Hazoumé. He's from Benin and he's shown quite a bit in Ireland. I saw him at IMA a few years ago. He takes jerry cans, so the cans that are used to carry water around, and he transforms them into sort of face-like shapes. In this one, it's called talonné, which means healed in a way. It's the red jerry can, and where the screw-off top is, it looks like the mouth. The handle itself looks like the lung section at the front of your face, of your nose. And then he has four black stiletto heels across the top of it, and they look like tufts of hair. It's really clever and expressive. I think there's a kind of a narrative about Africa, which is about charity, about war, about desperation, that you're subverting, that you're turning on its head by showcasing the cultural heritage and the cultural richness and the potential of the continent.
Absolutely. I really rally against these kind of old-fashioned preconceptions about Africa and African art as an extension of that. I think with every exhibition that I host here at Sotheby's, I hope to surprise and delight people. What I see myself doing is curating a sale of contemporary art, and it just so happens that these artists all come from the African continent. Congo is a particularly fascinating place for us. It is kind of the heart of Africa. Literally, it's in the centre of Africa, but it's also the melting point. It's where so much art history comes from in Africa, and going right back to antiquity as well. Obviously, I work with modern and contemporary art, and the Congolese artists tell an amazing story across our sale, across Africa. The artists are often, we focus very much on the independence era, so looking at the countries who were fighting for independence and then that post-independence phase, establishing a national identity, establishing a national culture. So when I think about the continent, and it is a huge continent and it's a lot of ground to cover, the markets that are the most prominent are probably South Africa, which has a very strong history of art and an art market, but also Nigeria and Lagos in particular. And that is a really interesting story because the last 10 years, the art market has just blown up there. There are so many artists who are working there. There are galleries springing up everywhere. There's maybe, you know, more of a grassroots movement as well. And collectors who are really enthusiastic. You know, there are a growing number of collectors and they collect widely, they collect in large numbers. And that is just one of the most interesting markets for us.
Hannah O'Leary there, head of the Department of Modern and Contemporary African Art at Sotheby's. When we talk about art and Africa, we're not forgetting the conflict in some countries on the continent. Think Congo or the Central African Republic or South Sudan. But there are other stories, including about Africa's new presence in the art and design world, which this year sees even IKEA launching their first African-designed homeware collection. And another expression of this alternative story took place in Hoxton in East London last week, where we make our final stop this time. The Hoxton Archers Gallery was the venue for the launch of the House of African Art, or HART for short, a project of Nigerian lawyer turned gallerist Mariam Lawal, aimed at tapping into the exploding global market for African art.
My name is Mariam Lawal, and I'm the founder of the House of African Art, HART for short. HART is a platform which represents artists from Africa and the diaspora abroad. And it's I call it a combined arts platform, because whilst the visual arts is the main focus, we also have incorporate other art forms like spoken word, poetry and music. Well, I've always had a personal love and passion for art. I remember when I was younger, I actually would do a lot of paintings and drawings myself. But then my professional career took a different turn, and I ended up studying and training to be a lawyer, which has been my professional career. But I've always sort of tried to keep up with the arts in my personal life and my free time by going to galleries and exhibitions. And I'm Nigerian, so I go back and forth to Nigeria quite a lot. So last year I went about 3-4 times. And just seeing the sort of the creative energy and the talent, I just thought, okay, I want to do something. I want to set a platform up in London to showcase the really sort of striking, vibrant work which I'm seeing and which I love.
This is a platform which represents the aims of justice, equality, and inclusion. This is a platform that aims to generate fresh, new perspectives on artistic talent coming from the continent. We aim to break away from any stereotypical characterizations of what African art means or what it's limited to.
My name is Kojo Manfo. I'm a visual artist from Ghana. I'm inspired by the traditional Ghanaian figurative carvings. I use the art as a form of communication to represent social issues and experiences in my everyday life.
Where should we start?
I think that this image here, it means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I was actually exploring my culture and also our attachment to the bereaved person and also the dead.
It's a head, and you've got thick black paint over mm-hmm. where the mouth would be, almost like flowers mm-hmm. floating around the top mm-hmm. of the head, and mm-hmm. then there's a blue top with lots mm-hmm. of white dots on it and a red collar, mm-hmm. and then you've got a stripy section at the bottom yeah. with a kind of a frilly white mm-hmm. part over it.
It is to highlight the diverse culture of the African people.
And there's a kind of a contrast between the prettiness of the pinks and the reds and of the flowers mm-hmm. at the top with the green leaves, and then this skull, which is black and then grey mm-hmm. with big black circles mm-hmm. for eyes and jagged teeth.
So this is a mother who has lost a child. The reason why I use all these dots and everything mm-hmm. on it is the dots represent the mask, the African mask that I grew up around. Growing up, I was trying to figure out why did they put all this marks and drawing, then I realized that it actually have connection with the tribal marks that we put on. Most of the tribal marks are connected to so many things, spirits and everything. And I kind of feel like I should apply those things, because these figures actually are those masks that I have actually lived with when I was growing up.
First thing for me will be to see the artist's work and see whether, you know, visually it's in line with the type of work which I'm trying to push forward and really showcase. And then, you know, when I meet with the artist in person, I think something that's really important for me is to make sure that we to try to see whether we can establish a connection in terms of our visions and what we're trying to achieve, right? So me through my platform and the artist through their works and, you know, and what they're trying to communicate with people. And I think, you know, once that connection has been established, it's been really natural. I think the relationships I have with my artists are really strong. We're able to understand each other and connect, because a lot of, like I said, you know, maybe it's issues about identity or, you know, trying to explore your tradition, your original cultural origins and things like that.
What countries are represented?
Yeah, Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, and then I also work with Aurelia. She's sort of mixed Ivorian and French background. And then I'm working with a South African artist. She's not exhibited in the exhibition herself, but we started working together as well. So it's Africa and the diaspora, and I'm my aim is to try and cover as much of Africa as possible. I've got 54 countries, so I'm going to be a very busy woman.
How important is social media to this flourishing? Is Instagram key?
I think it definitely is. I think social media plays a really crucial part in our lives in general now, not only, you know, with arts, but I think in particularly looking at the growth of African art, it's played a massive role, and I'd say a massively positive role, because if we're saying that, you know, I mean, say Nigeria alone, I know that the sort of mobile penetration rate is something like 80 to 90%. That's really high, really high. Everybody has phones, right? So, and that's great, because that means that, you know, an artist in a place where they may not traditionally ever got anyone to see their works, now can post a picture online and you've suddenly got, you know, celebrities liking it. For instance, like with Kevin Hart a few weeks ago liking a Nigerian artist's work and asking him to commission work pieces for him. So I think social media plays a really big role in this area, and I think actually it's a positive role, because the artists are getting their work seen internationally, and it's kind of like facilitating that flow, that kind of global flow of appreciating artists' works and spreading it across the world, really.
So I'm Emmanuel Yunaji. I'm a fine artist, do modelling part-time, and I'm a business owner. So I best describe them as mixed media works. I'm going to be releasing a line of custom jackets very soon. They get quite a bit of attention. Recently had Jesse J buy one, actually.
Stop it.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise. So
you're going to be a celebrity soon? Or are you already? I'm not clued.
No. Celebrity friends, maybe, but...
One who?
No.
Can't tell me.
No, you can't name drop.
One.
My mum. My mum can't.
My name's Asiko. I'm an art photographer.
So, now we're standing in front of five of your photos. Big echoey space here. And you're taking up one wall of this kind of vaulted gallery space. Are they printed on a kind of a silver back?
So it's metallic. It's a metallic print.
So these are, there are five images of women wearing jewelry of different kinds, sometimes over their heads, a shoulder, elaborate earrings. And there's almost like a print, a henna-type print over the body of one of the women. Do you want to describe it for me? How is she sitting?
So all these images are from a series called The Woman Code. And the idea for it was inspired when I was in Nigeria a few years ago. And the symbols in every single image are from Adire, so A-D-I-R-E. It's an actual set of symbols created by women in the Yoruba land, 15th century time. And during those times, women didn't have a voice. So these were the images women used to communicate with each other, to be able to talk to each other, to be able to inspire in a time where they didn't really have a voice. I photographed those symbols so I could recreate them digitally.
And they would have created those symbols and on text, on paper, or on bodies?
On fabric. It was the clothes they wore. So when people would walk around with the clothes they wore, they understood what these symbols meant. Women, not the men. A secret language. That's why I called it the Woman Code.
My name's Aisha Faisal, and I'm a visual artist. Yeah, my work explores psychological states, and I use the human form as a way to exploring the psyche.
This particular piece is titled The Gift, and the circular motifs sit within these paintings represent regeneration and renewal of the body, of the spirit, but they're also symbolic of the cyclical nature of the spirit.
Should we describe it a bit? The two paintings are squares, large squares, and the two figures are almost back to back. What's certainly striking is where the heads would be, you've put some thick red brush lines and some blue ones and then some red lines.
At the time I created this work, I had a, you know, there was a lot of personal experiences, and it was a time where I felt a great heaviness. It made me very reflective, and it took a lot of looking for direction and looking for, you know, the correct way of moving forward and having, you know, searching for that kind of strength.
A lot of suffering in that period.
Yeah, suffering, but then at the same time, it was a period of transition. You know, this is a form of documenting that.
One of the main aims of HART and what I'm trying to achieve through my platform is to really showcase a greater range of work. So I'm showing the really modern work, the really forward-thinking contemporary artwork. One thing that's really important, actually, it fits in with the theme of the exhibition, is about creating one's own narrative and staying true to your story and your narrative and not being ashamed of it and actually being proud about it.
My work is inspired by two cultures, being English and also being Nigerian. I embrace both of those cultures. So visually, you will see aspects of the Renaissance, which I absolutely love, that inspires what I do. But then I also love where I'm from in Africa, Nigeria. So that aesthetic will come into the work as well. So those two pieces inspire what I do.
We often get asked, is the labelling or sometimes the boxes that, you know, straight away as an African artist that you're expected to represent somehow. You know, for me, it's culture. I feel very fortunate to have such a rich and vast culture to be able to draw from and to, you know, to be inspired by. But at the same time, you know, what if your work does not concern that as an artist?
What do you make of the other artists here today?
I feel very honoured to be exhibiting alongside some of these artists. Very interesting body of work. And I think it makes for a very varied and eclectic mix.
Some of the pieces of the African contemporary art jigsaw there at the launch of the House of African Art, where Culturefile's Louise Williams was speaking to founder Maryam Lowell, as well as artists Asiko, Aisha Fayal, Kojo Marfu, and Emmanuel Inaji. And that brings to a close our African Art Week on Culturefile. We'll be back with more continental scoping next Friday, just after 7, here on RTE Lyric FM. Till then, bye now.